When I was 27, the stock market crash came. When I was 28, my personal crash came. Then I guess I woke up. So when I was almost 30, I began to make my living from writing. This is the story of a Negro who wanted to make his living from poems and stories. For 10 years, I had been a writer of sorts, but a writer who wrote mostly because, when I felt bad, writing kept me from feeling worse. It put my inner emotions into exterior form and gave me an outlet for words that never came in conversation. Now I found myself in the midst of a depression. I had just lost my patron. Scholarships, fellowships, and literary prizes became scarce. I had already gotten several awards that were not to be had a second time. Jobs were very hard to find. The WPA had not yet come into being. If I were to live and write at all, since I did not know how to do anything else, I had to make a living from writing itself. So, of necessity, I began to turn poetry into bread. But this earning of bread did not come about in easy, direct steps. First, it was Mary McLeod Bethune who suggested to me that I travel through the South reading my poems. And my conversations with Mary McLeod Bethune came about because I went to Haiti. I went to Haiti to get away from my troubles. I had intended to go from Cleveland, where I spent Christmas with my mother, to Key West by bus, thence to Cuba and Haiti. But in Cleveland, I met at Caramu House a fellow named Zell Ingram who was going to the Cleveland School of Art, but who did not like it, so he wanted to quit classes and travel. He borrowed his mother's car, she gave him $300, and we set out. I had $300 left from the Harmon Award granted me for my novel, Not Without Laughter, having given my mother $100 of the $400 grant. On a morning in March, Zell and I began our journey to the South. As soon as I got rid of the last dollar of the money left from my estranged patron's allowances, I felt immensely better. My stomach, that for weeks had turned over and over since my relations with the kind and elderly lady on Park Avenue had ended so abruptly, now stopped turning over altogether. I came out of college in 1929, the year of the stock market crash and the beginning of the Great Depression. I had written my first novel, Not Without Laughter, as a student on the campus of Lincoln University. I had had a scholarship to college. After graduation, a monthly sum from my patron enabled me to live comfortably in suburban New Jersey, an hour from Manhattan, revising my novel at leisure. Propelled by the backwash of the Harlem Renaissance of the early 20s, I had been drifting along pleasantly on the delightful rewards of my poems, which seemed to please the fancy of kind-hearted New York ladies with money to help young writers. The magazines used very few stories with Negro themes, since Negro themes were considered exotic, in a class with Chinese or East Indian features. Editorial offices then never hired Negro writers to read manuscripts or employed them to work on their staffs. Almost all the young white writers I'd known in New York in the 20s had gotten good jobs with publishers or magazines as a result of their creative work. White friends of mine in Manhattan, whose first novels had received reviews nowhere nearly so good as my own, had been called to Hollywood or were doing scripts for the radio. Poets whose poetry sold hardly at all had been offered jobs on smart New York magazines. But they were white. I was colored. So in Haiti, I began to puzzle out how I, a Negro, could make a living in America from writing. There was one other dilemma. How to make a living from the kind of writing I wanted to do. I did not want to write for the pulps, or turn out fake, true stories to sell under anonymous names as Wallace Thurman did. I did not want to bat out slick, non-Negro short stories in competition with 1,000 other commercial writers trying to make the Saturday Evening Post. I wanted to write seriously and as well as I knew how about the Negro people and make that kind of writing earn for me a living. I thought, with the $400 my novel had given me, I had better go sit in the sun a while and think, having just been through a tense and disheartening winter after a series of misunderstandings with the kind lady who had been my patron. She wanted me to be more African than Harlem, primitive in the simple, intuitive, and noble sense of the word. I couldn't be, having grown up in Kansas City, Chicago, and Cleveland. So that winter had left me ill in my soul.